Good morning, my precious brothers and sisters. I'd like to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the beauty of your love. I thank you for the more abundant life that Jesus died and lived and raised from the dead so that we could have life more abundantly, so that we could be enveloped in the pleasure, the joy of living in your kingdom as children of the living God. We love you, we bless you, we worship you, we thank you. And I thank you that your words are in my mouth, that your people are abundantly blessed, and that all glory goes to you, sweet Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Take your Bibles, please, and go to Luke 15. Today is taste and see that the Lord is good. I've been talking a lot about meditation, and meditation being a time not to ask questions, but just relax and let God show you what he wants to show you. Believe me, you'll learn something in every session. And a few days ago, I was in my meditation, and this is going to tie into Luke 15 in a minute, because in my meditation, I was on Sunlight Farm where we lived in Virginia, and we had 13 acres, and on 11 of it, we grew hay twice a year where the big machines would come out and mow and do the big shredded wheat, round things of hay that would sit outside till the truck would come pick them up. And I always mowed a path around the perimeter of our property so that anybody who wanted to from church or us who lived there could take a walk or jog or run and just enjoy the property even when the hay was up past your waist. And one evening I was taking that walk by myself, and the hay was about up to my chest, waist high, chest high, and as I walked around the property and was almost home, that was the highest part. It was the crest of the hill. And at just that very moment, the sun was going down and was at this particular angle where it turned everything golden. I had never seen a sunset like this in my entire life. It looked like the hay was all sparkling, a sea of sparkling gold. And I rubbed my hand through the hay, and my hand was gold. And the gold feeling just ran up my arm, through my shoulder, into my head, down into my heart. And I was just shivering with delight. And I consciously caused myself to be completely still. I knew that this was going to only last a few seconds at the most. And I had my eyes open and every sense was on high alert. And I was just hyper aware of, I call it videotaping in my mind. I've done this since I was a kid. Taking into my mind this memory so I could come back to it anytime the rest of my life. And this probably happened 25 years ago. And as I'm standing there on that mountain, reaching my hand through the hay, I realized this is what it feels like to touch the face of God. God says in Psalms, "Seek my face, not my hand." I was very aware that I was having a communion with God moment that was very rare indeed. And so I took it in down to my very toes. And even when I'm talking about it now, I can remember exactly how it felt. I was trembling with joy and excitement and the essence of Holy Spirit. And it was so bizarre, I guess cool, I don't know what word, adjective to use, but a few months later, a movie named Gladiator with Russell Crowe came out. And in that movie, he has a very similar experience where he in his imaginations, walks through a hayfield, rubs his hand through it, and I believe in the movie it represented paradise to him also, because his wife and son had been brutally murdered, and he would go to that hayfield when he would think about the future and being reunited with his family. I tell you, when I saw that movie, it just freaked me out, because it was just weird. It was cool weird. But in that golden moment, in that hayfield that day, I knew that I was getting just a little taste of paradise. Everything in this world stopped. It was so, I wasn't even aware. You know, when Paul says in Corinthians he had that vision and he didn't know if he was in the body or out of the body, that's where I was. There was absolutely no fear, no anxiety, no worry. Just a complete flooding every cell of my body with the holiness of God inside and out. Pure holiness, pure joy. I was tasting the world to come. You know, there are several things in the Bible that happened that were spectacular, and it says Mary kept all these things in her heart. I get it. I lock these things inside my heart for future reference, for encouragement. And the thing is, your subconscious cannot tell the difference between something that's vividly imagined or something that's true. That's why, like, if you open a desk and there's a rubber snake inside, and like me, you hate snakes, your subconscious thinks it's a live one, and your body breaks out in a sweat, and you jump back, and you're freaked out, and your adrenaline is going, and your amygdala's on fire in your head. And then when you realize it's a fake, if you're like me, you still want to have somebody else remove it. I don't want to touch the thing. So when we can come and spend these times on purpose, in the privacy of our own home, where you can go to these places with God, or you can do them on a walk in the woods or sitting on your deck. I would advise not doing them while you're driving your car. Your subconscious takes this in as a real experience, and it just heightens, exercises your faith, heightens your hope, gives you more God confidence. Or as I like to say, everything goes more better with Jesus. And in that meditation, in that beautiful golden field, I was suddenly in the Bible story of Luke 15. So I'm going to read and give you the Cliff Notes version, and then I'm going to tell you about my vision. In Luke 15, this is all about lost and found. A sheep that is lost, a coin that is lost, and a son that is lost. And it says in Luke 15 that, you know, he went and he joined himself in that country. After he had all of his money, he went out and blew it with riotous living. I always relate to that paragraph. And after he was broke, all of his friends milked him dry. He went and joined himself to a citizen, and he's out in hog country eating the husks until he remembers the goodness of his father and remembers that his father treats his servants, which he was a servant at the time, way better than this. And he had that light bulb moment where he went home to his father, and you know that he was all repentant and realized how bad he had messed up, but his father was waiting for him in the field. Verse 20. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had what? Compassion. Compassion. Let me just throw in right here, if you've done anything in your past you're beating yourself up for, repent and let it go. God's forgotten it. He's cast it as far as the east is from the west, and he has nothing towards you but love and compassion. And I love it that the father ran and fell on his son's neck and did what? Kissed him and kissed him and hugged him and hugged him. And he was so thankful. The son was about to say, you know, I've sinned, I'm unworthy. The father knew his heart. But the son needed to say the words for his sake. Father, I messed up. I just want to get back on the good foot. Sibidi. Verse 22. And the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, the robe of heirship, and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger, the ring of authority, where we can bring the impossible to pass in the name of Jesus Christ. And shoes on his feet, ownership. Every place you step is holy ground. The devil can't touch you when you realize you own where you are. You're on holy ground. He can't come in when you recognize your ownership of yourself, your body, your health, your mind, your wealth. And here's the good one. Verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and he's found now. And they began to be merry, and they had a party. But in Luke 15, there's a brother, an older brother, who hears all the merriment, and he's outside, and his bottom lip is stuck out, and he's all ticked off. He's angry that his good brother, his brother, got back in the good graces of the Father. Well, now in my vision, here's the change. And I knew I was smack dab in the middle of Luke 15, but he was giving me a whole different take on it. And I'm walking across that golden hay field on Sunlight Farm, and all of a sudden the Father is running across the field, and he's hugging me and loving me and kissing me. And I have this inner sense in my spirit that I am not coming out of hog country, but I am meeting him in that place, in that field, in a place of victory and humility. Like Paul said, I have run a good race. I'm coming out thumping my chest like the Roman soldier with allegiance to my king, knowing that I'm doing my best every day to serve my master. And when Papa met me and he's hugging me, and like I always say, you know, God's aftershave smells like the earth after a thunderstorm, clean and sweet and nice. And of course, my vision of God is a handsome, youthful man, just strong and strapping and kind and generous. And he's hugging me, and his love is just shooting through every cell of my body. And in my meditation, I'm just being so still and letting every cell vibrate with his love, with his acceptance of me, just coming through me in a like a white hot fire, taking every negative out of every vibration in me and being filled with love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, faith, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. Against such, there's no law. These are fruit of the Spirit. They're of God. And he's transporting me to communion, totality with him, and I feel the healing just pouring through my body like sweet honey from a honeycomb. You know what I'm doing? I'm tasting and literally seeing in my vision that the Lord is good. Listen, this is why God gave us an imagination. For two reasons. One, and I think first and foremost, is so we can read the Bible and put ourselves in the shoes of these people living the Bible stories. Put yourself in the shoes of David bringing in the Ark of the Covenant. Put yourself in the shoes of Jesus being patient and not running off half-cocked, so and listening to God so he could raise his best friend You know, there's only two people in the Bible that it ever says Jesus agape'd. I mean, phileo'd, brotherly love. Everybody he agape'd, but he only phileo'd, brotherly love, two people. John the Beloved and Lazarus. Lazarus must have been his very best friend. But if he hadn't been still and waited, the whole Lazarus tale would have been different. Put myself in the shoes of Paul, standing in the midst of severe persecution and yet having the peace of God to pen an epistle that we're reading to this very day. And in that meditation, I knew in my spirit there was no angry older brother in the picture anywhere to be seen. My older brother, because Jesus always inserts himself into the vision, the older brother in this vision was Jesus. And he wasn't sitting out on the steps with his bottom lip puffed out. He was thrilled to see me. He was so happy that God and I were having this communion. There wasn't a jealous bone in his body. And you know one of the most beautiful things about these visions I see when I'm in my meditation time? I don't hoard them into my heart. I know that they apply to all of God's children. I pray that God gives everyone who's a Christian the same beauty, the same type of visions he's giving me. Let them experience the love I'm feeling. Let's share the love. Share the joy. And then when I go from my meditation is when I go into my prayer time. And you know what I'm praying for you all? That you feel the joy I feel. That if you have a problem, you have the confidence I'm feeling in that meditation to take it to the Lord. I'm praying for all of you to have what I have. Man, if there was some way I could duplicate my hard drive and give it to everybody, I'd do it. I want you all to share in this kind of joy and glory of the Lord. And when I was sharing it with Ron this morning, this vision, he said, wow, God really gave you a different angle on Luke 15. Because Ron's known me long enough to know this is my favorite parable in the whole Bible. It always has been. And man, in that field, when that father's love, my father, my papa's love shot through me, and in my vision, when he put that robe of righteousness, I knew I was already righteous, but it was like, I don't know how to say it, like an extra helping. And when we're righteous, we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that heirship of righteousness gives us the ability to stand in the presence of God or Satan without any sense of inferiority or shame, but a feeling of total power, large and in charge, because we are kids of the King. Man, that's the righteousness of God. When he placed that ring on my finger, I knew it was that authority. You stamped it into the clay seal in Rome, and that was your signature. It came from your father, but as the son, you'd stamp it in, and it was all the power of the father. And you know what? I needed that authority because about 20 minutes after that, someone who rarely calls me called and had a huge need. And man, I was in that place of power to ask God, exactly what do I say? How do I respond? What is your word? Put it in my mouth. And I knew I had on the shoes that I was in holy ground and had the right to do it. And man, in my vision, that's when he said, fill the fatted calf and let's have a party, party, party. And you know, at the time we're standing in this beautiful, you know, if you've ever seen Yellowstone, that's always the mansion I see that I live in paradise. It's a beautiful log cabin out on thousands of acres of land with vistas that go beyond where you can see. And we're in that kind of mansion and God says, where do you want to have your party? And I said, oh, Papa, in the barn, of course. And this big, beautiful white barn with these giant double doors. And all of my friends and loved ones and people are filling the barn, and here's this giant banquet outside. I mean, it's tables for miles with, you know, carcass roasting on the spit, being turned, having that good Troy's barbecue sauce all over them. And we walk into this beautiful, clean barn, and Jesus says, "What kind of party do you want?" And I said, "Oh, I don't even have to take a second. I want a square dance. I want a square dance." And man, Jesus and I, we were leading the Virginia Reel, and man, that guy's out there fiddling to beat the band better than Dave Kershaw in Louisiana Man. And I haven't square danced like that since I was 31 years old. And oh my Lord, what a feeling of community and camaraderie and joy. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And I can't believe I had to wait to get into my 60s to find out I could do this at will. Every day if I want to, go to a different place. And I know in my heart that God takes us to these mountaintop experiences to encourage us, to equip us, to minister more efficaciously when we come out back down into the valley of human need. What good is it to have all this stuff if you can't share it? In signs, miracles, and wonders, in loving your brothers and sisters, and saying a kind word just at the right time. And I remember after I came out of this particular meditation, I was still quiet in my quiet place, and I had this aha moment, and I thought, man, what did Moses see when he was up on Mount Horeb for 40 days and 40 nights? Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. We already know what God showed John in the book of Revelation. I mean, wowee! Honey, if I'm going to have a boundary in my meditation, those are my kind of boundaries. Take me out there, Father. Let me get someplace where I don't know if I'm in the body or out of the body. Just bring me back here so I can love and love and love and love with the love of Jesus. Man, oh man. Here's the deal. And this is what God answered me. You know, when I ask him the question, he always answers me. And I said, God, what did Moses, how spectacular must it have been when he was up on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights? Remember, he came off the mountaintop glowing to the end. The people asked him to put a veil over his face. I was talking to a friend of mine today on FaceTime, and you know what? She was glowing like Moses. And it just tickled my fancy. And I told her, I said, you realize you're glowing in the spirit. And I mean, this stuff is for real. This is not a comic book. This is reality, my friends. And when I asked him that question, you know, and it was kind of a throwout question. I wasn't really expecting that much of an answer. I said, what did Moses see up on Mount Horeb? You know what God said to me? He said, Peg, nothing like you've seen because you have more Holy Spirit than he did. He said, the question my children have to ask themselves today in the body of Christ, because we all have more Holy Spirit than Moses. That's just a fact. He said, you've all got more Holy Spirit than Moses, but you've got to ask yourself, do you have the hungry heart of Moses? Do you have the hungry heart of Moses? And do you have the desire to serve me like Moses? And I said, yes, Lord, I sure hope so. And if I don't, take me there, please, Papa, take me there. And you know what blessed me so much at that party? Not one of God's kids got left out. There was not one wallflower. Everyone was happy to perfection. Jesus was all inclusive. Everyone was rejoicing. Oh, man. You know, put me in a, what do you call it, a plaid shirt, a pair of blue jeans and some cowboy boots. Give me some barbecue and corn on the cob and honey. I am living high on the hog. I am in my place where I'm wallowing in the clover. And I could just sense so deeply in my spirit. Listen to this, every one of you, please. the sense of satisfaction that our Father has in you. He's not looking at your mistake of yesterday. He's not looking at your mistake of tomorrow. He looks at you through the eyes of love, and all he sees in his children is the Spirit, the perfect Spirit of Christ in you. And Papa was so blessed that we were just partying and full of joy. And Jesus was so blessed to be partaking. I started wondering, if Jesus has no sense of time or space and we don't either at the banquet of the Lamb, does that mean he can eat with each one of us at the banquet? I don't know. Maybe. I mean, it's a whole different ball game when we're in the new heaven and earth, because that's where time and space, as we know it, cease to exist. It's Einstein, you know, couldn't figure this out. And Jesus was so tickled to be with you and I. And man, I'm at the end of that meditation, I just thought, Father, thank you so much. I got a little lick off the ice cream cone again of what paradise is going to feel like. Every now and then, man, he'll just give me a good old lick off the ice cream cone of what my future home is going to feel like, and it is oh so good. And something that's just been part of me throughout my whole life, even when I was a kid, like the day my dad brought home the English bike, the royal blue fenders, and took it out of the back of the Chevy 2 and said, this is yours. You know, it was one of these moments that just took my breath away. I thought I was going to faint. I was so happy. But somehow throughout my whole life, I've been aware that when we have these special moments, to just run that reel in your mind and hang on to it for future reference. When I was walking through that hayfield, I was videotaping that moment in my head for future reference. When I was, you know, I just now thought about it, but when I was in the Vatican, maybe this came to mind because of the battle of good and evil we're in the middle of right now in our whole world. You know, the Vatican, let's face it, it's one of the darkest places on earth. And yet it held in its heart this one thing of beauty that I had desired to see my whole life. And when I was 30, I don't know, 6 or 7, I finally got to go into the Vatican, and I could feel the negative energy in there, and I just asked God for that bubble, holy ground. I spoke in tongues, holy ground all around me, and as I could see it in the corner. And the Vatican, when you get in it, man, it's like as big as like 2 or 3 football fields. That main room where they have the stuff going on is huge, huge. I mean, the dome way up there, I mean, 4 or 5 stories high. And you can hear my footsteps on the marble, and I'm walking to this corner, and there it is. I get choked up even thinking about it. There's the Pietà by Michelangelo. I need a minute here. If I'd looked at that picture once in the encyclopedia, I'd looked at it 1,000 times, saying, God, let me see it someday. And you know, God paid for my trip to Europe. I didn't pay a dime. A friend invited me to go to Europe for a month. And I'm walking across the Vatican, and there it is. And I'm having an out-of-body experience, thinking, is this real? Is this really happening? This is a dream come true. God has brought so many dreams true in my life. He even brought a dream true this week, but that's still between me and him. And I walked up, and of course, you can't touch it. They had plexiglass because some wonderful guy hit it with a hammer when it was in New York and broke off the nose and finger. They had to replace it. And even behind the plexiglass, though, you can almost touch it. It's very close to the statue. And there up on a pedestal about 4 feet tall, you have to look up, are life-size characters of Mary holding the body of her son Jesus taken down from the cross. His hand and fingers hanging that limp feeling that you only see in death of a body, just total limp. And Mary is looking down at him, head bowed. And I tell you, that sculpture is so beautiful, so perfectly sculpted, that you just stand there. I don't care if you're an unbeliever, you sense the heartbreak of the mother, which is the heartbreak of God when he sacrificed his own son for you and for me. And as I stood there entranced in the moment, feeling, I just was asking God to let, I went with a friend of mine. I said, please let her stay away. Just let me have this moment to myself. It was so real. I felt the Father's anguish, the depth of his sacrifice for you and for me. It was so real. I thought I was going to see a tear come down the statue's face. Everybody listening to this, this is the depth of the Father's love for you, and nothing will ever change it. It says in James, it's without variableness and there's never a shadow of turning. I don't care how you feel about yourself, God's love for you is always white hot. And when you have these wonderful moments in life, you need to just learn to stop. Make yourself still. Imbibe the moment. Feel everything in the moment, whether it's a real thing happening like the Pieta or the communion with God time I had in my meditation. Soak it, soak it, soak it into every fiber and woof of the fabric of your being so you can come back to these amazing moments in times when you need encouragement. Don't lose the moment. Stop. Push pause. Videotape it. Run it over and over in your head for the next few days. Make it your own. If you go in one of these Bible things where you're Jesus getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead, feel like Jesus. Ask God to help you feel, how did he sit still when his friend was dead? What gave him the strength of will to not go rushing headlong and miss the moment? God wanted Lazarus to be raised after 4 days. That was his will. And you know, I asked God one time, why 4 days? He said, because Peg, a week later, my son was facing death for 3 days and three nights. How much do you think this encouraged him to go through with his part of my plan? And he took me back to Jesus' agony in the garden and how that raising of Lazarus was part of the vision that gave him joy while hanging on the cross. Hope that his father would take care of him. So I'm just saying, people, take more time to calm yourself down. Learn to smell the roses. Learn to let yourself enter into the depth of the joy in each day, because there is joy in every day we live. Learn to train yourself in the meditation of snuggling, snuggling, snuggly into Papa's heart. I mean, it just blows my mind that he gave us an imagination so we can do this. But people, life is fleeting. Ask me how fast 70 years has gone by. Jesus, it says in the epistles, it's like the grass that's here today and tomorrow thrown into the oven. Boom. It's going to go before you know it. So savor the moments. Even when they're fleeting, like rubbing my hand through the hayfield, I had the presence of mind to just stop time and space and absorb, absorb, absorb the joy, the beauty, the magnificence of that moment, or I could have kept right on walking and I would have missed it forever. Because I knew when I was standing there, that was a one-off. I was never going to see that hayfield, that sunset, that particular gold ever again in my whole life, and I haven't. Hebrews is the book that says we can taste of the good word and the powers of the world to come. We can taste of the kingdom here and now. And the more we taste it, the more we find ourselves living in that frame of mind, even when we're ministering, even when we're talking, even when we're driving the car. But in order to do that, you know what we got to do? We got to believe it's possible. We have to ask, seek, and knock. And then relax. And let Papa reveal himself to us at his own pace. Sometimes in meditation. Sometimes when I'm sitting on my deck. Sometimes when I'm just finishing a meal and sitting there thinking, what's the next thing to do? I'll find myself right there in the presence of God. He wants to teach me something, show me something, take me to that heavenly moment. I'm on it like white on rice, baby. And he reveals all this to us at his pace because he knows what we can take at any given moment without getting haughty or puffed up. You know, even when Paul said, I'm going to tell you about my sufferings, but I'm not telling you to get puffed up. I'm telling you so it inspires you to want to go there. To peek behind the curtain into that other realm often. And the best way to do that is so dang simple. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Take him by the hand. And take into your heart the highlights that he shows you each and every day, whether it's deeper understanding of a verse of scripture or a beautiful vision, having a barn dance with the forgiving Father and your brother Jesus. Let him boost you up higher and higher to see more in depth into your true relationship with Papa and with his son who loves you more than words can say. And boy, even when the world around us seems to be so filled with chaos, these hidden videos in our heart become more and more precious because they remind us that God is still large and in charge, and he's still going to confirm his word with signs following. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Amen.